From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you, too. Thank you. Happy to see you. I share your excitement. We got a great show for you today. But first, some good news. According to a poll by a completely unreliable internet company, the U.S. is still the, quote, coolest nation on earth. That's right. USA. Isn't that great? Bankrupt is the new black. And who better to celebrate that distinction than the modern icon of cool, Fonzie himself. Mr. Henry Winkler will be here. He'll be joining us to play our games later. But first, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm CL, and I live in Belmore, New York. On Long Island.
You're CL?
My name is Carol Lee. It's two E's on the end of Carol, and everybody always messes it up.
So why even bother? I understand.
Why even bother?
Well, welcome to the show, CL. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a blogger and a deputy editor for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi.
Next up, a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and the author of Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, CL.
And lastly, a comedian performing at the Crest Theater in Sacramento, California on September 30th, Miss Paula Poundstone.
Hi, Paula.
Hey, CL. It's me, Pee-Pee.
Pee-Pee?
Yeah. It's Paula and Poundstone, but people mess it up.
CL, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your voicemail. Ready to go?
I think I am.
Let us do it. Here is your first quote.
It was one of the worst pregame shows I've ever seen.
That was CNN's Alex Castellanos reacting to what big event on Thursday night?
I think that had to be Obama's speech to the to the Congress.
Yes, his big job speech. That's right. Very good. Very good. After a week of preparation, the president reached up into the attic and got out his angry face, which he hasn't used since someone bogarted his Chablis back in college. He insisted that this $450 billion jobs plan would not add to the deficit and would be paid for, partly through cuts in other government spending, and the rest from a $200 billion Groupon he got from China. But as he said to Congress, you got to act on that now because it expires. And of course, you can only use it if a bunch of other Western democracies also sign up. But he's hopeful. So it's called the American Jobs Act. Very straightforward, very, very descriptive. This is an improvement. They failed to come up with a catchy name for their health care bill, which might have doomed it, really, in public opinion. So they had to get this one right, the American Jobs Act. That's good. It was a compromise between the first idea, which was the Infrastructure and Actualization of the Labor Initiative Revival Act, and the other idea, which came from Joe Biden, it was money good.
You know, you can't accuse Obama of having a hair trigger temper.
No. He's, yeah. You can only imagine what his children get away with.
Malia, I'm giving you exactly a week and a half to stop that.
Exactly. If you don't get your homework done, 3 years from now, I will deliver an impassioned speech about it.
Unless you're busy that night.
All right, very good, CL. Here, next up for you, it's a plaintive quote from a GOP event the night before, Wednesday.
I kind of feel like the pinata here at the party.
That was somebody who felt like everybody was just picking on him. at the GOP debate. He was right. Who was it?
Oh, how can I not know this? I watched it. Everybody picking on him. It had to be Rick Perry.
It was Rick Perry. Very good, the governor of Texas. He was making his debut at a GOP presidential primary debate. If he didn't want to get hit like a pinata, he really should not have stuffed his belly with candy and worn his papier-mâché suit. I'm just saying.
I think that he is way leaping to conclusions to feel that he's the pinata at the party. Yeah. A pinata is full of happy surprises.
Yeah, really.
So Rick Perry did, in fact, get some attacks from the other candidates. He's now the front runner in the polls. But he went on the attack, too. He thought he'd go after Mitt Romney by comparing him unfavorably to Michael Dukakis. That's a low blow in American politics. Romney responded by saying, Perry created jobs slower than George W. Bush did. And Perry said, not true. And Romney said, that's true. And Perry said, nuh-uh. And Romney said, uh-huh. And all the pundits decided that uh-huh is more presidential than nuh-uh. So Romney was declared to have won. That summed it up for you.
And then they all walked down the stage and hit Ron Paul with a stick and a whole bunch of nuts fell out.
Perry was challenged by the moderators on his dismissal of global warming science, and so Perry compared himself to Galileo, who was, in Perry's view, somebody who was once in the scientific minority and then proved right. Also, Galileo was one of the only two scientists Perry has ever heard of, and he didn't think that the professor on Gilligan's Island would have worked in this context.
He's not that good with science.
No.
I saw that video of him with the kid asking him about evolution and how he said, what did he say to him? He said, well, that's a theory that's out there. And the video was just, it cut off there, so you didn't get to hear the kid's follow-up question about gravity, but I think it would have been great.
All right, CL, here is your last quote.
The check may never be in the mail again.
That was columnist Michael Walsh in the New York Post warning us what big part of the U.S. government might just disappear.
What? Oh, wait, can you say it again?
Sure.
What part of our government might disappear?
Yeah, big part of the federal government. Go ahead, Carol.
The check may never be in the mail again.
Oh, the post office!
The post office! Yes, yes, post office. Two shocking headlines in the news this week. First, the U.S. Post Office is on the verge of default. And second, we still have a U.S. Post Office. I know you're thinking the Post Office is only good for delivering unwanted Lillian Vernon catalogs to housewives and very much wanted Victoria's Secret catalogs to their husbands. But once upon a time, children, people used to painstakingly copy out their emails on paper with a pen and pay someone to deliver them 4 or 5 days in the future. We also had just 3 TV channels, we churned our own butter, and we used our phone for talking. You guys still use mail?
Sure.
You write
yes,
letters?
Absolutely.
People?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't trust them newfangled machines.
Yeah.
Are you
never,
kidding?
Yeah.
I put a stamp on the monitor screen usually when I send an email.
I still use mail, and here's the really odd part. The delivery of the mail still is part of the arc of my emotional life of the day.
Really? In
yeah, I still go out to the mailbox thinking, you know, like the Wells Fargo wagon, like maybe something. And then there it is, Bed Bath & Beyond, 20% off.
Carl, how did CL do in our quiz?
CL, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail.
Well done. Wow.
Excited,
thank you, Sarah.
You guys rock. I
thank
love
you
this
so
show.
Much. Take
thank
care.
You.
I'm waiting for a letter from my baby. Just a note would mean so much to me. My heart beats fast each time I see the postman. Each time he passed, there's been no mail for me.